إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with the hadith that we began 2 weeks ago, and that is the hadith according to our numbering, hadith number 19. In the English translation published by Dar al-Salam of Bulugh al-Maram, it's hadith number 1254. And that hadith is عن المغيرة ابن شعبة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله حرم عليكم أقوق الأمهات ووعد البنات ومنعا وهات وكره لكم قيل وقال وكثرة السؤال وإضاعة المال متفق عليه. It is narrated from Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed, verily, certainly Allah has made unlawful for you disobedience to your mothers, burying your daughters alive. And these two we covered in the previous lecture. Holding back and demanding. Yani holding back what Allah has ordered and demanding what you are not entitled to. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَكَرِهَا لَكُمْ. And he hates for you, or he detests for you, or dislikes for you. قِيلَ وَقَالْ, engaging in gossip. وَكَثْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ, asking many questions about what is not necessary, and asking for people's money, begging. وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ, and squandering wealth. And this hadith is مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, that is, agreed upon by the two shaykhs, the two imams, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. So previously we discussed the first part of this hadith, that is the first 2 points of what the Prophet ﷺ said, that Allah حرم عليكم أقوق الأمهات ووعد البنات, that is disobedience to mothers and burying the daughters alive. And tonight inshallah we'd like to continue with this hadith, but before doing so, as is our normal manner, we'll look at the questions from the previous lecture, that is the questions from lecture number 16. And there were 6 questions, and those questions are, number 1, mention the 3 things in the hadith of Al-Mughira radiallahu anhu which Allah prohibited, harrama, and then the 3 things which Allah detests, kariha. Can anybody mention to us what are the 3 things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Mughira that Allah harrama? Naam ya Mustafa.
Disobedience to
mothers, naam.
And holding back what Allah has ordered.
Now. Tayyib. Somebody else. Tell us, what are the 3 things that the Prophet ﷺ said, كَرِهَ لَكُمْ, that Allah dislikes or detests for you, 3 things. Now. Does anybody remember what they are? Like remember from memorizing the hadith. Naam, Ahmed? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Now. MashaAllah, JazakAllah khair. Who can tell us what's the meaning of those three things that he just mentioned? The three things that, Ismail. Okay. 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 He left out something though just now. He mentioned those things. Yeah. Huh? No, but the second three things. Now. Call it. Asking a lot of questions. Okay. Before that. Kila wa qal. What's the meaning of kila wa qal? Okay. Man'an wa hat. Man'an wa hat. Man'an wa hati. That means what? Man'an, holding back. Wahat, demanding. Holding back what Allah has ordered. And demanding what a person doesn't have a right to. Aqila wa qal, that is kasar. Kathrat al-su'al, asking a lot of naam, wa idaat al-maal. Demanding, wasting wealth, squandering wealth. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we hope, and I'm saying this just, you know, to encourage and to remind, we hope that we should memorize some of these hadith. You know, this hadith is a little bit lengthy, but we had it for a few weeks now. So it was enough time for us to memorize. Please try to memorize. Second question, is there any difference in the hukum, the legal ruling, between the three things which Allah prohibited, harrama, and the three things which Allah hates, kariha, as mentioned in this hadith? Explain. Is there any difference in the hukum, the legal ruling between these three things and these three things? Naam, Abdul Shaheed? He says no. Okay, there's no difference in the legal ruling. Meaning that the legal ruling concerning the first three things and the legal ruling concerning the second three things is the same. Right? So explain. How do we explain that? Since in the hadith he said Allah prohibited these things and Allah hates these three things. So how do we explain that Allah said He prohibits something and He hates something and the legal ruling is the same? How do we explain that? Now, who can explain it? In brief. How do we explain that? Now. Naam, when Allah hates something, it's haram. When Allah hates something, it's haram. The meaning of kariha, he hates, he detests it. The meaning of it is that it's forbidden. That's the meaning of it, it's forbidden. And the proof of this, if anybody can remember, is the ayat in the Quran where Allah mentioned how many things, so many things, shirk, murder, zina, fornication, disobedience to parents, and so many other things. And Allah said, kullu dhalika, كان عند ربك مكروها كان ذلك عند ربك مكروها. All of these things سيئه عند ربك مكروها. All of these things, the evil of them are with your Lord makruh. Allah mentioned from those things that He called makruh, murder. He mentioned shirk. He mentioned zina. He mentioned so many things, and He said all of these things, the evil of it. سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهَا. All of it is makruh. So Allah used the word makruh, but in reality, it is haram. So the ruling is the same, and the explanation of it is just different expressions. Two different expressions used to refer to the same thing. Question number three, discuss the meaning of uquq al-ummahat. What is the meaning of uquq al-ummahat? Yes, Abdul Shaheed.
Person who fails to be kind to his mother.
Okay, a person who fails to be kind to mother, to their mother. Now, what else? What else can we say about it?
Spend on them.
Okay, spending on them. Person, okay, uquq al-ummahat means the person doesn't spend on his mother. Now, what else? Somebody else? Yes.
Okay.
Uquq al-ummahat means you're not helpful, because you're supposed to be helpful, right? Uquq is disobedience to mothers. So a person who's not helpful to their mother, that's one type of uquq. Not fulfilling their needs, not being charitable to them, helpful to them, kind to them, all this is uquq al-ummahat. Disobedience to mothers. Number four, mention three reasons why a mother has three rights, or three times the right of a father to kind treatment. Why does the mother have three times more the right to kind treatment than the father? Naam, Abdul Shakur. She has been made to endure more hardships. Like what, for example? Okay, carrying the child. Before that. Okay, carrying the child. Now, go ahead. Ismail? Oh, carrying the child. Somebody else. What else does a mother do that entitles to the right of good treatment from the children? Naam. Okay, nurtures and teaches them. Naam. What else? Okay, she suffered maybe some sickness or whatever in the process of what? Of the pregnancy, carrying the child, delivering the child, and so on. So the mother, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, in different places, the mother does something that's very, very, very vital to the life of any human being that came into this world. She carries that child in her womb for 9 months. That's a tremendous matter. She delivers that child with hardship and pain, suffering and danger to her own life. And then she nurses the child, feeds that child directly for a long period of time, sometimes some longer than others, right? So this is a tremendous thing that the mother does, and Allah acknowledged this, and the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that when a man asked him, who has the most right to my kind treatment, he said, your mother. And he said, who after that? He said, your mother. And he said, who after that? He said, your mother. Until finally the fourth time he said, your father. Question number 5, mention 3 reasons why the people of Jahiliyyah in the times of ignorance killed their children. 3 reasons why the people in Jahiliyyah killed their children. Naam, Abdul Karim. Okay, they prefer to have boys more than girls, uh-huh. Okay, they prefer boys. Okay, somebody else, what else? Naam, Ismail. Out of fear of poverty. Allah mentions that specifically in the Quran, out of fear of poverty. Naam? And out of fear of being shamed. From the girl children, when they have girls, who knows what's going to happen. So that's a shameful disgrace, they may be disgraced. So they were afraid of that. And the third one, those two are well known in the Quran, but there's one that people don't usually think about. That Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned, Naam. Abdul Shaheed. To get nearness, as a means of nearness, like as a form of worship. That you pray or you fast or you give charity, get near to Allah, because this is what's pleasing to Him. So you get near to Him by doing acts of obedience. So they used to kill their children as an act of obedience to the idols, to get near to the idols. Naam. Yeah, sacrifice their children, you know, to get near as a means of obedience, to get of nearness to their idols. And the last question, today the so-called civilized nations all engage in killing their children for fear of poverty. Explain how this is a result of their kufr and su'adhan, evil thought or evil thinking or evil estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Salih Fawzan talked about this in a lecture we gave last week. How the people of today are doing the same thing out of fear of poverty. Naam.
They have abortions.
Naam. How is this explain how this is the result of their kufr and their evil thought about Allah. How does this relate to their kufr and their evil thought about Allah? Naam, Siddiq.
Allah provides for all of us.
Allah provides for all of us. And they, because they are kuffar, disbelievers, they don't believe. They don't believe that when Allah creates a creature, He also provides for that creature. They don't believe that. So this is their evil thought about Allah, that Allah creates a creature and then doesn't provide for it. How can a person think about Allah like that? The normal human being, if they have a child, they take care of the child that they bring into this world, right? But in the Kafir country, the state has to go after the man and make him take care of his children. Huh? But the normal human beings in the whole earth, when they have children, they take care of their children. So how much more so do we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of heaven and earth? That He creates a creature and doesn't take care of it? Human beings do that. And Allah is the greatest. وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلَ الْعَالَى. Allah has the greatest, most perfect description. How can you describe a human being being a good man, he takes care of his children, and you don't expect that Allah will take care of His creatures that He created? This is kufr. And this is the su'adhan, the evil thought of the mushrikeen about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we'd like to continue with this hadith. Starting with the third point that's mentioned in the hadith, that is man'an wahat. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, in the beginning of it, he mentioned three things that he said Allah has prohibited, and that is the disobedience to mothers, bearing of daughters, and then he said that from the things that Allah has prohibited, he said, man'an wahat. That is, man'an, holding back, and hat, demanding. Holding back, we said what Allah has ordered, and demanding what a person is not entitled to. So we'd like to look at some of the comments of Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, and Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And first, we'd like to look at a couple of definitions that Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, gave concerning man'an wahat. He gave a few definitions. And in the course of his discussion, I'm just going to bring them three together so you can look at each of them and try to understand what does this mean by man'an wahati. Yani man'an, holding back. Wahati, demanding. Okay? The Shaykh, he says first, man'an means al-imsak. Imsak means to hold back, to restrain. Imsak, to hold back. He said it means what? Man'u ma yajibu ada'uhu min al-mali wal-qawli wal-fi'li wal-khuluqi. That is holding back what? The fulfillment, the thing that the fulfillment of it is obligatory. But he holds it back. Holding back what? He said, he mentions here four things. And this is a kind of detail explanation of the holding back that the Shaykh begins with. He said, holding back that which is obligatory to deliver, to fulfill. Min al-mali, wealth. And most of the scholars centered on this point, holding back wealth. But he said, wal qawli, and speech, things that you are, it's obligatory for you to say. Like it's obligatory for what? To give da'wah, to enjoin the good, to forbid the wrong, to give advice, and so on. It's obligatory, and some people hold back. So he said, holding back from wealth, holding back from speech, wal fi'li, and action. Actions that are obligatory in a person, restrains and holds back for it, wal khuluqi, and character. And the good man is a good character. He said that the imsak here, it is holding back what has been made obligatory for you to deliver from wealth, from speech, from action, and from character, good manners. He said, wahati, yani hat, means a'atini, give me, demanding something. He said, in this hadith there is a prohibition of requesting and demanding مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ أَخْذُهُ مِنَ الْحُقُوقِ. Yani demanding that which لَيْسَ لَكُمْ أَخْذُهُ. It's not for you. You don't have the right to take it. You don't have a right to take it, but yet you are demanding it. Second definition he gave as he went on, he said, okay, again, مَنْعًا وَحَاتْ. He said, يَمْنَعُ الْحُقُوقَ الْوَاجِبَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الزَّكَاةِ وَالنَّفَقَاتِ الْوَاجِبَةِ. That is, that the person holds back the obligatory rights that he's supposed to give up. Someone has a right that's obligatory upon him, and he holds back those rights. Including from the obligatory rights, he said, including a zakat, obligatory charity, wal-nafaqat al-wajiba, an obligatory spending, meaning like maintenance. Like it's obligatory for a man to maintain his wife, to maintain his children, those who are under his custody. If his parents are old, elderly, and then I would take it as obligatory for him to spend on them. So also it includes this. It includes zakat, it includes other obligatory spending. And that a person tries to seek an increase by collecting wealth. الأموال التي لا تحل له من حقوق الناس. يعني the wealth which is not halal for him to take from the rights of the people. But he keeps, يعني يكثر. Keeps trying to get more and more and more. Taking from the wealth of the people. That's not lawful for him to take. This is what he means by hat. And it doesn't mean demanding what's your right. It means demanding what you don't have a right to. What's not lawful for you. From the wealth and the rights of the people. وَيَحْتَعَلْ عَلَيْهَا بِطُرُقِ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ. And he uses deception and tricks to get this wealth. That is not lawful for him. from turuq muharrama, from forbidden ways, through forbidden ways. Haram means. And the last thing that the Shaykh said, he quotes from Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, he says, that he said, Al-Hasil min al-Nahi, yani the summary of this prohibition, that it is man'u ma umira bi'ita'ihi, yani that he is holding back that which it has been ordered to be given. It has been ordered that you give, and he holds it back. In summary, وَطَلَبُ مَا لَا يَسْتَحَقُّ, and requesting or demanding what he has no right to, what he has no right to. So he has given a few definitions here, and all of them are centered around the same thing. In one definition, he just says, and he's holding back that which you have been ordered to give, and demanding that which you have no right to. That's the summary definition. Holding back that which you have been, what has been commanded to be given, and demanding that which you have no right to. And in the more detailed definition, he said, from wealth, from speech, from actions, and from good manners. Holding back from all of these different types of things. Most of the scholars centered upon wealth, yani the spending that's obligatory on a person, whether it's zakat or other obligatory spending. But here the Shaykh, in one of his definitions, he said, holding back that which is, what is obligatory to be given, from wealth, yes, but not only wealth, from speech, from actions, from manners and character. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, the meaning of man'an wahat, holding back and demanding, he said that the person doesn't distribute anything from his wealth. He doesn't give up anything from his wealth. Miser. But in reference to the wealth of the people, he demands from them. He doesn't give up anything, but he's always demanding from the people, give it up. The Shaykh says, every person that he finds, you ever seen people like that? Everybody they see. Some people stay on the street, especially in places where they know people are gathering, like the masjid doors and places where Muslims are, and they just demand from everybody. The Shaykh says, every person that he sees, he says to them, Barakallah feek. Barakallah feek. May Allah bless you. As-sadaqa mahbuba ilallah. Sadaqa is beloved by Allah. That's what he says to the people. That's his game. وَلَيْسَ بِيَدِي شَيْءٍ, I don't have anything. My hand is empty. And he said, I am a man who has very little. And I don't have anything. And this is how he goes to the people. And sometimes he even lies to them. And he says, I have children and I have a family. And they, well, they tell stories like that. This is how they do it. Barakallah feek. Allah loves sadaqah. Make dua for you first. They say, Allah loves sadaqah. This is an empty hand here. I got family, I got children. Stories that they tell. That's how they take the money of the people. This is what Allah prohibited. From the benefits of this hadith, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, is the prohibition of demanding that which a person has no right to. And also, the prohibition of holding back that which is obligatory. And this is the condition, as we said, and this condition, as we said, indicates that the human being has ingrained in him al-bukhul, yani stinginess, that prevents him from giving. And he also, and ashuh, yani greediness, that pushes him to demand. These two characteristics, stinginess that keeps him from giving, and greediness that forces him to keep demanding and requesting and seeking by any means that he can to take other people's wealth. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, man al-wahat, he said, Allah has prohibited holding back the wealth and failing to spend. So these people are yajma'una wa yamna'una. They are collecting and then they are holding back. They are collecting from the other people and they are not giving anything. And Allah Jalla wa Ala has commanded the people with obligatory spendings. There are some spendings that are obligatory. It's not voluntary. There are some spendings that are obligatory. Mandatory. You don't have no choice in the matter. You have to do it. And there's also al-infaq al-mustahabba. And there's some spending that's mustahab. So there's spending that's wajib, obligatory, and there's spending that's mustahab. That's commendable, it's praiseworthy, beloved by Allah. That's two different kinds of spending. Both of them, person should spend in both ways. And here the Shaykh says, spending on al-infaq al-nafs. Person spend on themself. While al-aqarib, and spending on their relatives. Wal-muhtajin, and spending on those who are needy. Wal-infaq fi sabilillah bis-sadaqat wa-tabarra'at. And spending in the way of Allah with charity and donations. وَآكَدُ ذَٰلِكَ إِخْرَاجَ الزَّكَاةِ. And the most definite, the most confirmed of all of these spendings is the payment of zakat, the obligatory charity. Spending on yourself, spending on your relatives, spending on those who are needy, spending in the way of Allah. But the most important of them is the obligatory zakat. So he said, some of the people, they don't spend their wealth due to greediness. And then he said, man'an. He said that they hold back what Allah has made obligatory for them to spend from their wealth. And hat, it means they request the wealth. Min ayyi wajhin wa bi ayyi wasilatin. Yani, from any direction and with any means, wherever they can get it from. And by any means necessary, they get the wealth. Min haramin aw min halalin. Doesn't matter to them. It's from haram or it's from halal. Al-muhim, annahu yajma'u al-mal. What's important is that he collects the wealth. That's all. Doesn't matter where he gets it from, what means he used to get it. It's lawful, it's unlawful, just get it. He says, jamu'un wa manu'un. Yani, the excessive collecting and excessiveness in holding back. And then he mentions ayahs from the Quran, from Surah Al-Ma'arij, Surah 70, ayahs 15 through 21. And in those ayahs, he talks about the hellfire and how the people will be punished in the hellfire. And he mentions these words, وَجَمَعَ وَأَوْعَى. That he does what? This person is going to be in a hellfire, burning in a hellfire. جَمَعَ, he collects. وَأَوْعَى. And then he puts it away, stores it away, hides it, locks it down. And he mentions again in these ayats, he says, وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And when he is given some good, then he is يعني stingy, holding it back. مَنُوعًا, he holds back. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Except the people who perform prayers. Those who are consistent in their prayers always. Otherwise, this is how the people are. Collecting and holding back. Collecting the wealth, locking it down, not spending anything from it out of greediness. And Allah has prohibited this. And the Shaykh ends by saying, and in the hadith, yani in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, a person will not go forward until they ask four questions. On some of the narrations, it says five questions. And that is about their life, how did they spend it in their youth, how did they use it. And from amongst the questions that they will ask, يُسَلْ عَنْ مَالِهِ وَنَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. He will be asked about his wealth. Person will be asked about their wealth. Where did they get it from? How did they get it? And they will be asked, and how did they spend it? And this hadith is reported by Tirmidhi, and it is Hasan Sahih. So, we can see from this that this is one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, that a person would hold back that which Allah has made obligatory upon them, whatever it is, especially from wealth. And then they would also demand from others, just the opposite. When it comes to giving, they hold back. When it comes to receiving, they demand from the people. This is something that Allah has made haram for Muslims to avoid and stay clear of. After that, he said that Allah has dislikes. And we already mentioned that the meaning of dislike here, it means that it is haram. Before we read what the shaykhs have said concerning this, I just want to make a note. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says here that these two expressions, حرم and كره, harrama, Allah has made something haram, and kariha, Allah dislikes something. We said that these two are both indicating the same ruling, that these things are haram. Shaykh Uthaymeen says, from the benefits of this hadith, أَنَّ مِنَ الْأَسَالِيبِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ, from the, يعني the manners of speaking in Arabic language, different, like speaking techniques, or ways of expressing oneself in Arabic language, there are some means of getting the attention of the people, and that is by اختلاف التعبير. That you express something by using different, you talk about the same thing but use different expression. You say it in one way, and then after that you express it in a different way to get the attention of the people. This is a means of getting the attention of people. He said that a person uses a different expression about something, the ruling concerning it is one, it's the same, but he expresses it in different ways. And this is, in this hadith, it is harrama wa kariha. These are two different expressions that's used to talk about the same thing. That's something which Allah has prohibited. And this is, these two words being the same, that is because ما كرهه الله, ما كرهه الله فهو حرام. Whatever Allah dislikes, that thing is haram. Whatever Allah dislikes, you know how the people say? Well, it's not really haram, it's just makruh. Well, whatever Allah dislikes, that is haram. Except that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا كَانَ تَعْبِيَ مِنْ عِنْدِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Yani if this expression, these two different words that are used for the same thing, if it's actually from the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, وَهُوَ الْعَصْلِ, and this is what, normally if you read a hadith, and there's some words used in that hadith, we take it to be from the Prophet ﷺ. He's saying that that's the asl, that's the original rule, is that if it's in a hadith worded this way or that way, it's from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the reason why the Shaykh is saying this, if it is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's permissible, it's possible, and it's permissible that the narrator of the hadith, when a person narrates a hadith with certain rules and conditions, it's permissible that the narrator might use a different word than the word that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, if the meaning is the same, if it doesn't change the meaning. Okay, this is something that has some detail we don't want to discuss now. But the Shaykh is just saying here that it is permissible that the narrator of a hadith could use another word than the word that he heard from the Prophet ﷺ, as long as with the condition that has the same meaning, it doesn't change the meaning, it doesn't give any different indication. And there's some discussion to go with it that we're not going to enter into at this time. But anyway, the Shaykh is saying, the reason why I say if this expression is from the Prophet ﷺ, and this is the original way we should see it, that when we see a hadith is from the Prophet ﷺ, but he only saying this because it is possible, it's permissible that a narrator could use a different word that has the same meaning. But the original ruling is that it's the speech of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's what it is in this case. He said that then the reason for this would be to get the attention of the person who you're speaking to. That would be the purpose of it, to get the person's attention, using one word and then coming back and using a different word. And it's known amongst us all that if a person is speaking in a monotone, then many of the people will not be with you. If you're just speaking just one way like this, people get bored, they go to sleep, they lose interest, they can't concentrate on that. So it is for this reason, he said, that some of the reciters of the Quran, they get the people's attention by اختلاف الصوت. They change their voice a little bit. That is, you will find a reciter of the Quran, for example, reciting one way, and then he will raise his voice. And then after some time he may lower his voice, or he may do something like this, and all of this is to get the attention of the people. And this is what the Shaykh is saying here now, that the purpose of this difference in expression is for this reason, to get the attention of the people. Otherwise, the ruling is the same for kariha and harrama. Qila wa qal. Allah dislikes for you. Qila wa qal. Qila, yani, it was said. Qala, so and so said. Okay, there's some grammatical points here, but we'll skip it for the sake of time. Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he says that what is intended here is that it's disliked for a person to be busy in transmitting the sayings of people. Everything they hear somebody say, they're passing it on. This is dislike. It's hated. It's haram. Or another possible meaning, or another meaning that it also means, كَرِهَا لَكُمْ كِلَ وَقَارٍ. He said, what is also intended by this is that a person is busy spreading news, events, stories, التي لم يتحققها, that he hasn't really checked out and confirmed. He didn't check it out. He just heard it and passed it. Everything he hears, don't check out nothing. وَلَا عَلَاقَةَ لَهُ فِيهَا. And it has no relation to him. It's not his business. Originally, it's not even his business. It has nothing to do with it. And he didn't check it out. Or she didn't check it out. And just passing everything on. And again, of course, this is something that we have to think about in our own lives, ourselves and others. To whatever extent that we may have fallen into this. Then we have to be careful. May Allah protect us from it. He said, the person who does this, they will have a lot of slips and mistakes and errors. And this negates the Islamic characteristic that is described in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Min husni islam al-mar'i. From the goodness of a person's Islam, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. That he leaves off that which is has nothing to do with him. This is a sign of a person's good Islam. That a person's Islam is good, that whatever they, has nothing to do with them, they leave it. This is a sign of a person's good Islam. تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. Has nothing to do with you, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Why are you getting into something that's not related to you? Allah didn't make it obligatory upon you. Allah didn't require you to engage in that, or to deal with that, or to be busy with that. Okay, maybe that's somebody else's responsibility. That's their responsibility. It's not your business. What are you getting involved in this for? You have nothing to do with it. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ كِيلَ وَقَالَ. He said it means, كِيلَ وَكَذَا. Such and such was said. وَقَالَ فُلَانْ كَذَا. And so and so said such and such. Is the meaning of this just a lot of getting involved in the business of the other people's business? Is that the meaning of it? Just doing it a lot? As though a little bit of it is okay? Or is the meaning that a person conveys and transmits something which he has not checked out and confirmed the truthfulness of it? Is the meaning the first or is it the second? Is it just that a person gets into other people's business a lot? Or does it mean that a person is passing on and conveying things that he hasn't checked out, which he hasn't checked out? The Shaykh says, كِلَاهُمَا. Both of them. Both of them. Naam. Allah hates for a person that he has لَيْسَ لَوْ هَمْ إِلَّا قِيلَ وَقَالْ. Yani he's not concerned about anything except قِيلَ وَقَالْ. Gossip. He said, she said, it was said, somebody said. That's all they're concerned about. Allah hates this. This is haram. And then the Shaykh says, and this is something that is found, he said, especially if it's in the matters of aqidah. This is more severe and more ugly, as we find in the books of the Ahlul Kalam and the philosopher, the people of philosophy. He said that one of them said, and it has been attributed to one of the scholars of the past, Imam al-Haramain, al-Juwayni. It's attributed that he said some lines of poetry, which it's difficult to translate, but the meaning of it is that he is saying that the limit or the extent of what our minds have been bold enough to go out to attain is just iqal. Yani, what is that? Like the tying of the rope that's used to tie the camel. How far can it go with this rope? It's nothing. It didn't go anywhere. And most of our efforts is nothing but dalal. Yani didn't do anything but misguidance. And our souls are alienated from our own bodies. And the extent of our worldly affairs didn't give us anything but adha wa wabal. Yani harm and evil. Yani, something, just waste. But here's the point that the Shaykh is mentioning is for all of this. وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ. This is one of the great scholars of the people of philosophy. وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَحْثِنَا طُولَ عُمْرِنَا سِوَىٰ أَنْ جَمَعْنَا فِيهِ قِيلُ وَقَالَ. And we didn't get any benefit from all of our research, the whole of our life, except that we have collected قِيلَ وَقَالَ. This is the philosophers. All they collected was waste, useless, nothing. So-and-so said and such said and whoever said. And it's nothing. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. If you read, if you have read, and hopefully you haven't read and will never read the books of these people of philosophy, this is rubbish. And this is what one of them said in the end of his life. And he was one of their greatest scholars of philosophy. Imam al-Haramain al-Juwayn. So the Shaykh is saying that also in these matters, this is also applicable to this. And then the Shaykh ends, and I'm going to summarize what he said here because it's very, very lengthy. But the essence of what he said here, I'm going to read to you, is very, very important and very beautiful. And this is something that, this is the benefit from this explanation of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, rahmatan wasiyah. He said, min fawahid al-hadith. This is something that you have to take with you. It's a benefit, a great, great benefit. May Allah bless us through what the Shaykh, rahimahullah, says here. He said, from the benefits of this hadith, is that Allah hates qila wa qal. وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And for this reason, it came in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. That whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then he must say خير, that which is good, أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ, or he must remain silent. Hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And the narration of Muslim goes on to say that he should honor his neighbors and honor his guests. But this is the part that the Shaykh mentioned here. It's in Bukhari like this. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. And he must say that which is khair, good, or he must remain silent. The Shaykh says, مِنْ كَمَالْ إِمَانِكْ أَلَّا تَقُولَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. This is from the completion and perfection of your iman that you do not say anything except khair. You look at the hadith and look at what the Shaykh said. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, and he must say that which is khair, or he must remain silent. The Shaykh says, مِنْ كَمَالْ إِمَانِكْ. From the completion and perfection of your iman is that you don't say anything except khair, except good. And you don't say anything except that it's good. This is an indication of the perfection of your iman. That when you speak, you don't speak except good. وَالْعَجَبْ أَنَّ مَنْ كَانَ هَذَا مَنْهَجُهُ مَنْهَجُهُ. And what is amazing is that the one who, this is his manhaj, that he doesn't speak except khair. Whoever this is his manhaj, the Shaykh says, this is amazing. That from, what is amazing is that whoever this is his manhaj, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلَمُ مِنْ شُرُونٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. That whoever doesn't speak except khair, if that's not somebody's manhaj, then he will be saved from a lot of evil. You want to be saved from a lot of evil? Make this your manhaj. The Shaykh said, وَمَنْ كَثْرُ كَلَامُهُ كَثْرُ سَخَطُهُ. That whoever is, he has, makes a lot, does a lot of talking, he will make a lot of mistakes. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ. But on the other hand, whoever speaks a little bit, وَكَانَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرًا, and he doesn't speak except he says that which is good, فَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ. Then this is the believer. وَهَذَا هُوَ السَّالِمُ. And this is the one who will be safe. Who's that? Shaykh says, whoever speaks a lot, he will have a lot of errors and mistakes, and slips and falls. Whatever, but on the other hand, whoever speaks a little bit, and he doesn't speak unless he says khair, he only speaks a little bit first of all. And then when he does speak, he only says khair. He said, فَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ. This is the believer. فَهَذَا هُوَ السَّالِمُ. This is the one who will be safe. And the Shaykh has some other things that he said here, but alhamdulillah, we'll suffice with this. This is, to me, it is one of the jewels of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. Ayyuhallah, this is from the kamal of a person's iman. That he doesn't speak except khair. And whoever this is his manhaj, he will be saved from a lot of evil. A lot of evil. A lot of harm. So whoever speaks a lot, he's going to have a lot of errors and mistakes. And slips and falls. Busts his head. But whoever speaks a little bit, two things. Whoever speaks a little bit, and when he does speak from that little bit, he only speaks khair. Or she only speaks khair. فَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنِ This is the believer. May Allah make this our minhaj. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَارِ And Allah has disliked for you, قِيلَ وَقَارِ Gossip. كَرِهَ مِثْلَ حَرَّمَ كَرِهَ is like حَرَّمَ Sheikh Fawzan says, لِأَنَّ الْكِرَاهَ مَعْنَاهَا التَّحْرِيمِ Why? Because al-kiraha, something that's disliked, the meaning of kiraha is tahrim, that's haram. قال الله تعالى كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها. All of this, the evil of it with your Lord is makruh. And of course, all of this he's referring to what? What he mentioned before this ayah. Killing, murder, shirk, zina, whatever. All those kind of things. He said, all of this, the evil of it is with your Lord makruh. يعني حرام مكروه here means حرام This is سورة الإسراء We mentioned it last class I think Sheikh Uthaymeen mentioned it And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan mentioned it here So the meaning of Allah dislikes something It means that Allah has forbidden it And قِيلَ وَقَالَ He said it means that a person حَمُّهُ إِشَاعَةُ الْأَخْبَارِ يعني his greatest concern is spreading the news What could be her greatest concern is spreading the news. That's all they think about. That their concern is what? Collecting the news and asking about what's going on and then spreading it. Collecting whatever you can find. If it didn't come to you, ask. You request it. Is there any news out there? And then you spread it. Give it out. Allah Mustafa. Some people used to say, if you want something to get out, tell so-and-so. You don't need to make no advertisement. Just tell so-and-so. They will get right on the telephone. They will tell everybody. مَا لَهُ شُغُلْ إِلَّا مَا قَالَ فُلَانِ He has no business, no occupation, except what so-and-so said. وَفُلَانْ قَالَ كَذَا وَكَذَا And so-and-so said such and such and so-and-so. وَبِدُونْ تَثَبُّتْ And without checking it out. And perhaps it might be a lie. What you getting from them. You didn't check it out. Maybe it's a lie. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, Imam Muslim mentions this hadith in his Muqaddamah, introduction to his Sahih. Hadith from Abu Hurairah, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا It is sufficient for a person to be considered a liar and يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ If he talks about everything that he hears or she hears, it's sufficient for you to become a liar. If you do what? If you Go and talk about everything that you hear. That's all you got to do. You don't have to make up nothing. Just repeat everything you hear, you're going to be a liar. Because some of what you hear is going to be a lie, for sure. The person doesn't check out what they heard, they just repeat it. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's sufficient for a person to be considered a liar. If they do what? Speak about everything that they hear. And the Prophet ﷺ also said in another hadith, and it's a Hassan hadith, And we mentioned it earlier today, reported by Ibn Majah and Al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban, that the Prophet ﷺ said, "من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني." From the goodness of a man or a person's Islam is that that person leaves off whatever doesn't concern them. And then Shaykh Saleh Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله. He says, Therefore, a person should not busy themselves with qila wa qal. Okay, after all of this, what? A person should not busy themselves with qila wa qal. And a lot of talking. Just talking a lot. You know, some people, they say, talk too much. Talk too much. Just talking, talking, talking. Some people run from other people because they know they're going to wear them out. You can't even get a word in. He said that the person, what? Should not busy themselves with qila wa qal. And a lot of speech. Especially if that speech contains tahreesh. Yani, sowing dissension amongst the people. And ifsad bayn an-nas. Sowing dissension amongst the people, discord, making confusion and corruption, making corruption and evil amongst the people, especially if it contains that. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, this is something that we have been tested with, fitna, for the last, I don't know how many years. People just spreading stuff that's caused discord, chaos and confusion amongst the Muslims. The people who are spreading are Muslims. This was Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, one of the great scholars of today, one of the most respected scholars of the people of Sunnah in the world today. This is what he said, that a person should not occupy themselves with qila wa qal, especially just too much talking, especially when it contains sowing discord and dissension and confusion and corruption amongst the people. This is a kabira, a major sin. And likewise, similarly, the person who follows, who looks, who searches for the mistakes of the scholars, so they can spread them. That's another one. They've searched for, they're looking, try to catch something. So they can spread it. They do it amongst the people for sure. Be careful, if you in front of people talking about Islam, they're going to get you. They're going to be looking for you. We can get this, we can catch them. If you ain't on their team. But the Shaykh is talking about the scholars. They're looking for the scholars, Akhi, trying to catch them making an error. They're human beings. Scholars are human beings, Akhi. Allahumma stan, so that they can spread it. They said, so-and-so said such and such. And so-and-so refuted him with such and such. This is what Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan said. This is what Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan said. Qala fulan kadha. Person said such and such. Wa fulan radda alayhi bi kadha. And so-and-so refuted him with such and such and so-and-so. You know, y'all know anything about that? I don't know what world you living in. This is their total occupation. So-and-so made a mistake, and so-and-so refuted him. Said such and such and so-and-so. Allahumma stan. That's all we can occupy ourselves with? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the Shaykh says, min ajli al-iqa' bayna ahli al-ilm. And this is in order to cause confusion amongst the scholars. That's why they're doing it. And they have done it. And we see that there's confusion. There's problems between some of the Ahlul Ilm. So somebody says something, and they run down to so-and-so and tell them, look what he said, refute him. And then they spread that. And their objective is to make confusion amongst the scholars and amongst the people. Enemies of Islam. Wallahi, the enemies of Islam. And Sheikh Salih Suhaimi, I heard it myself. He said, some of these people are amongst us, amongst the Salafi people, he said. And he said, it's not by accident what they're doing. Because I used to say, they're probably just ignorant. But Sheikh Salih Fawzat, Sheikh Salih Suhaimi said, Hafidhahullah, he said, they are planted there with the intention to make confusion amongst the Salafi people. Because this way of the Salaf is the only way of Islam that people can worship Allah correctly and learn His deen correctly. So they have to corrupt the people who are following this minhaj. But the other people ain't got to worry about. They're already astray. Shaitan got that under control. And this is also, he said, this trying to collect the sayings of the scholars and having who refuted who in order to make discord amongst the people of knowledge, he said this is also from the greatest of the Muharramat. Of the greatest of the Muharramat. Okay, I'm repeating because I know we could forget quickly. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said this. In his book, The Explanation of Bulugh al-Maram. So the person, he follows the news and the sayings and he spreads it. Or he said that the person should not be doing this, should not be following the news and the sayings and spreading it. But rather he should be collecting and narrating ما كان فيه مصلحة وما كان فيه خير. A person should not be what? Collecting the news and the sayings. Just stuff, garbage, rubbish, gossip, and spreading it. يرحمك الله. وإنما يتلقى ويروي ما كان فيه مصلحة وما كان فيه خير. But rather he should be collecting, receiving and collecting what? That which contains the مصلحة, something of benefit. And that which contains وما كان فيه خير, that which contains خير. That's what he should be trying to collect. Huh? Off the radio, off the CD, off the internet. Collect some that has contains a maslaha that actually brings people together, that reconciles and fixes problems, and contains خير. Collect that and spread that. Huh? That's what we should be engaged in. You found that Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he said such and such and so. Wow, let's transmit this to the brothers. Maybe they can reconcile to the sisters. Maybe they can make up and fix the problem. You should be making an effort to spread that. Not spread so-and-so said about so-and-so, and so-and-so said about so-and-so, and somebody made a slip and fell. Let's see if we can trip him and make him fall again. And then keep him down and beat him down so he can't get back up. So he can't turn back and fix it and correct it. He made an error, fix it. Give him help to help the person fix it. Help them fix it so they can correct themselves. Who cares? Who doesn't make errors? He said, so what we should be receiving and what we should be conveying is that which contains the maslaha as a benefit of reconciliation and peacemaking. وَمَا كَانَ فِيهِ خَيْرٍ, and that which contains good. وَيَتْرُكْ مَا لَا خَيْرَ فِيهِ مِنْ فُضُولِ الْكَلَامِ, and we should leave that which doesn't contain any khair. The stuff that you hear, no matter who it's from, doesn't contain khair, leave it. From the excess speech of the people, that's waste. And waste sometimes, that's fudul kalam, but sometimes the waste is what goes in the toilet bowl. That could mean that too. But here you're talking about the speech of the people, that's like the stuff that goes in the toilet bowl. Leave that. That's for the toilet bowl. That's not for spreading, putting in people's ears. يقول الله جل وعلا and the Shaykh Salih Fawzan حفظه الله closes with سورة الحجرات I think it's the sixth ayat يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين O you who believe إن جاءكم فاسق it's if a فاسق sinful, corrupt, rebellious person who rebels against the law of Allah brings you بِنَبَئٍ some news, some information فَتَبَيَّنُ then check it out. Investigate. Look into it. Find out, is it true or not? Is it accurate? And تُصِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ so that you will not afflict the people, harm the people due to ignorance, due to your ignorance because you don't know what you're collecting and what you're conveying. So check it out and to see what Qawman bi jahalatin so that you will not harm a people, afflict the people out of ignorance. فَتُصْبِحُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ And then you will become, because of what you have done, نَادِمِينَ and remorseful. You will be sorry for what you have done. Check it out. So that what? You don't harm a people in ignorance. And then you will become like those people, because of what you have done, you become like those who are sorry, remorseful about what you have done. Check it out first. Don't just spread stuff. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ هُوْ فَاسِكُمْ a facet. And Allah began this ayah, what? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Oh, you who believe. Okay, this is like the Shaykh Muhammad from Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, from the signs of the perfection of your iman. From the signs of the perfection of your iman, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, in jaakum fasikun binaban fatabayyanu. That from the signs of the perfection of your iman is that when a fasik person brings you some news, check it out. Don't just pass something on, you don't know what you're spreading. Because you might harm a people due to your ignorance. You don't know what you're collecting and what you're spreading. And then you will become, yani, remorseful for what you have done. Naam. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. I'll just make one point and close here, although we should stop here, but I just want to, yani, bring a point from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. And it's a side point, but it's related to this topic. And that is, you know, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ began it with, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. So, the Shaykh here mentions as a point, one of the benefits in this hadith is the issue of al-halal and haram. Al-tahleel and tahreem. And he says that al-tahleel, making something halal, lawful, and al-tahreem, making something haram, belongs to Allah alone, is the right of Allah alone. And this is based on the saying in this hadith, we got it from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ. That indeed, verily, Allah has made forbidden such and such and so and so. And even though the indication in this hadith does suggest that making something haram is the right of Allah alone, but it's not that direct in this hadith. That making something haram is the right of Allah alone. It's not that direct. Rather, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is confirming this fact, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, that indeed Allah has made forbidden for you. But he doesn't say directly that the right of making something forbidden or lawful belongs to Allah alone. He doesn't say it directly, but you can understand that from this hadith. Although there are other indications that are more clear, like the Shaykh mentioned in Surah Al-Nahl 16, verse 116, Surah 16, ayah 116, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبُ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ. Yani that the people say, they describe with their tongues the lie, they're saying, هَذَا حَلَالٌ, this is halal. وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ, this is haram. And this is a lie that they're making, that they're attributing to Allah. Meaning they are declaring something to be halal, that Allah has not made halal. Or they're declaring something to be haram, that Allah has not made haram. The Shaykh says that also we can derive from this another issue that is greater than this issue. Yani greater than the issue that the right of Allah alone is making lawful and making unlawful. Greater than that is another issue that comes from this, and that is at-takfir wa idkhal fil Islam. That declaring someone to be a kafir or declaring someone to be an Islam, laysa ila al-khalq. This is not the right of the creatures, the created beings. This is the right of Allah alone. Okay, this is another issue that's greater than the first issue. That is declaring somebody to be a kafir or declaring somebody to be in Islam. Who's in and who's out? Huh? He's in, he's out. That's not the right of people. You don't have no right to that. That's the right of Allah alone. So the Shaykh says, but this is the right of Allah alone. All of the created beings are the slaves of Allah. So when Allah makes a ruling, declares by His law that somebody is a kafir, then that person is a kafir. Doesn't matter if it's your fathers or your brothers or your children or your near relatives. Doesn't matter. If Allah doesn't declare that a person is a kafir, then we cannot declare a person to be a kafir. وَلَوْ عَمِلَ مَا عَمِلَ, no matter what he does. If Allah doesn't make the ruling in the Qur'an or through the Prophet ﷺ that such and such, this person is a kafir, nobody has the right to do that. No matter what they did. Like some people, well, if a person did such and so, that's your on your own mind. That's what you're saying. Some people go so far as to declare something so ugly that they make it something worse than what Allah says. Like some people will make murder, or some people will make snitching, or some people will make homosexuality, which is evil, right? worse than shirk. Like in other words, he was a homo. Okay, what if he repented and accepted Islam? Do we accept a person who is a mushrik, who repents and accepts Islam? What's worse than shirk? But in our minds sometimes we get confused. And we imagine that the things that we think are ugly, that are ugly. But we put them on the level that we want them on. But there's nothing worse than shirk. There's nothing worse than that. Even the ugliest of the acts of the human beings, rape, murder, whatever. Not like shirk. What's the point I'm trying to make here? I'm trying to say that be careful that we don't use our mind and our feelings to determine rulings on things. Rather, Allah is the one with the right to do that. And Allah says nothing worse than shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرَ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءَ. Allah does not forgive the person who makes shirk and dies on it, but He forgives anything less than that to whomever He wills. Anything less than that, whatever it is. The worst of the worst of what human beings do, Allah may forgive it if He wills, but not shirk. If a person dies on shirk, Allah will not forgive that. A person could die on something evil, heinous, and didn't repent from it, but he accepted Islam, he didn't repent from that thing, and if he dies, Allah might forgive him if He wills. That's up to Allah. Forgive whoever He wills, whatever He wills, anything less than shirk. So that's the worst thing. So the Shaykh is saying here, it doesn't matter. Allah is the one who makes the ruling. Doesn't matter what people do. It's not for us to do that. Because some people will make the takfir, declaring somebody to be a kafir, based on their feelings and their mood, how they feel about it. But the issue of takfir is greater than the issue in this hadith, the issue of what's lawful and what's unlawful. And there are many, many tremendous, important rulings that are based upon this matter, that is, the matter of takfir. That if a person is declared to be a kafir, there's a lot of stuff that goes with that. They don't get buried in the Muslim cemetery, they don't get no Muslim funeral, janazah, they don't get no inheritance, they don't get all kind of stuff. This is a tremendous matter, but people have taken it lightly. And somebody say, oh, he's a kafir. Wait a minute, slow down. You might have did something bad, but don't be hasty. Be easy with this. Then the Shaykh says, and I'll close with this, said the issue of takfir is greater than the issue of tahleel, making something lawful, and tahreem, making something unlawful, because of the tremendous rulings that are based upon it. That comes, as mentioned in the books of the scholars, dealing with the ahkam of ridda, apostasy. And also, he said, whoever makes something lawful that Allah has made haram, whoever makes something haram that Allah has made lawful, then this person has opposed Allah. He has opposed Allah in this matter. Because the making something haram and making something lawful belongs to Allah alone. So whoever says about something that it is halal, and Allah has said that it is haram. Like a person, they said that some intoxicants, it's halal. They made laws like that now today, right? In New York, they said, is it made law yet that legal marijuana or something like that? Legal same-sex marriage, legal whatever. Okay? So whoever says that something is halal, and Allah said that it's haram, this person has opposed Allah. And whoever says about something that's haram, that is halal, then he has opposed Allah. However, the Shaykh says, if this came from ijtihad, from a scholar, declaring something by ijtihad, a scholar, that something is lawful or unlawful, making a ruling on a matter, after research and seeking evidences and making ijtihad, to some extent, he said, فَهُوَ مَعَذُورٌ. This person is excused, and that is because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكَمْ فَاجْتَهَدَ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِنْ أَخْطَى فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. That if the hakim, yani the person who's qualified to make rulings, they are equipped and qualified and certified. If they make a ruling concerning a matter that they made ijtihad about and they reach the correct ruling, then they will get two rewards. And if they make a mistake, they will get one reward. If they make a mistake, they will get the reward for the effort in the ijtihad of seeking the truth by the evidences because they qualified to make ijtihad. So here the Shaykh is saying what? But the topic that we're talking about, making lawful and haram and stuff like that, there's an exception to it, right? That is, the exception is the scholar who makes ijtihad on a matter that's not crystal clear. And he seeks and research and look for evidences, but he makes an error. If he gets it right, he gets two rewards. One reward for getting it right, and one reward for the effort that he made And if he gets it wrong, he gets one reward for the effort that he made, even though he didn't get it right. But he doesn't get any sin, though, because he's a mujtahid, he's a scholar. He has the right to make ijtihad. Allah rewards him for trying, even if he missed the mark. But if you're not qualified, certified, and equipped to do that, then leave it alone, because it's a terrible matter. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We have about 2 minutes if somebody wants to, I think we have about 2 minutes, if somebody wants to ask a question. Yeah, we have about 2 minutes. Now, quickly.
Should we be careful on Facebook? Is that considered
qila wa qaw? Allahu a'lam. I don't know that much about Facebook, really. I've never actually seen it or engaged in it, and I don't know anything about it, except it doesn't look like it's good. Allahu a'lam. It seems as though perhaps somebody might could use it for something good, maybe. Allahu a'lam. But for the most part, it's better to leave it. Because, well, I don't know, what is it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that much about it. But I think, beware of it. Unless you are certain, beware of it, brother. Naam. Person who lies on Allah? Is lying on Allah close to shirk? Allahu a'lam. But certainly lying on Allah is a major sin. Depends on what kind of lie they're telling on Allah. Are they telling a lie on Allah about his deen? Corrupting the deen? That would be different than just telling another different kind of lie on Allah. But all of it is major, serious, haram for sure. But shirk means that they're worshipping something as a god besides Allah. But lying is a sin. Lying on Allah is the worst sin. But it depends on what they're saying, Allahu A'lam. Tayyib, naam, last question. Naam. It's heavy, sure. Yeah. Okay, a person who admitted that he was a homosexual and he repented. Right. So what do we do with that person?
How do you deal with that?
Well, Allahu a'lam, how you deal with it practically, okay?
Right.
Because I'm not used to dealing with that kind of situation. Obviously, you know, I've been in an environment where we didn't really, you know, have that kind of problem like we have here. But I'm sure that there's some practical way to deal with it. Imam Ibrahim is probably better, you know, equipped to answer that question for you. But in principle, how we deal with it is that we investigate. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If a fasiq brings you some news, check it out. So check them out. But if a person was a homosexual, if they were a rapist, if they were whatever, and they really repented, then they can accept Islam. Naam. Allah forgives even a mushrik. A person was a mushrik. That's worse than homosexuality. He was a mushrik. A living, lifelong career mushrik. And then he repented and accepted Islam. So would you tell him you can't enter Islam? Putting somebody out of Islam, takfir, and entering somebody into Islam, that's the right of Allah alone. If a person repents and they, you know, accept Islam, then it's not, we can't keep a person out of Islam. But how do we actually deal with them? Do we protect the people from them? We don't leave around certain people who we watch? Yeah, of course, all of that should be done. It's clear. You know, I'm saying whatever it is, a person who's, you know, he's a what do you call it, the guy who steals money, not a crypto, yeah, that kind of, I'm talking about the guy who does the businessman who steals money. What do you call those people? Embezzler. You know a person is an embezzler, then you don't put him in charge of the money, right? You know a person is such and such, you put him in, so of course, you take precautions, no doubt. I just want to look at the question, I sent a question 2 weeks ago about a child in the bed with the rights of the father. Yeah, I'm sorry. Somebody sent this question before about the rights of the father of the child that is born out of marriage, out of wedlock. And I really, you know, wanted to look at some of the contemporary scholars and see what they say about this. But unfortunately, I really didn't have a chance. I mean, it didn't stick in my mind to check it. So, Allahu a'lam. But in general, we know that the child that's born out of wedlock is not attributed to their father. That's the general rule. It's not attributed to their father. In Islam, in the Sharia, a man has a child. A man has relations with a woman and they have a baby and they're not married. Then that child is not considered the child of that man, according to the Sharia of Islam. That man is not required to take care of that child. The child doesn't inherit from that man. that child doesn't take that man's name. In the Sharia of Islam, the child is born out of wedlock, is not attributed to the father, it's attributed to the mother. But as far as, you know, what is the relation with the child to that father, that's a different matter. Like, it may be some, you know, discussion that I really wanted to look at, but I didn't really look at it, so I don't want to speak about it right now. But I'm just saying the basic rule in Islam, child is born out of wedlock, is not attributed to their father. No, out of marriage? You mean they're not married when they have the child?
No. You have children.
Oh yeah.
The children belong to the father.
Children belong to the father, of course. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah.
Sometimes people get divorced and the father keeps.
Oh no, you mean who keeps the child? Oh, that's custody, that's a different matter altogether. That's a different matter altogether. Depends on the age of the child and depends on a lot of different factors. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.